Hello, welcome to Telecast with Popey, episode 4. This time I want to talk about paid apps on Linux. And the thing that triggered this was a recent thread on the GNOME Software GitLab instance. There's a merge proposal there, and there's further threads on other mailing lists related to this. And I don't really want to talk about the specifics of that controversy, maybe. But there was an interesting couple of comments from Robert McQueen, who works at Endless, that I thought was interesting, where he mentioned that Endless are looking to add paid support to Flatpak for Endless customers, I guess. We've known about this for a little while because they've been discussing it openly on Flatpak mailing lists, and I find it interesting. And it got me thinking about paid apps in Linux, in specifically in Ubuntu, because we've tried to do this a couple of times. So you may remember the desktop Ubuntu software store that was in baked into Ubuntu back in the 14.04 and previous versions. And we had a whole process where developers could submit their applications that had to be packaged as devs, and a team would review those applications before they get put into a special repository, and users could then install them. And it was a bit of a failure. There were only a limited number of applications in the store, partly because it was difficult to package applications and the Linux app ecosystem wasn't as diverse as it is now, wasn't as mature as it is now. So there was a lot of rubbish in there. And those applications that were in there didn't generate a huge number of sales. And so that was seen as a bit of a failure. Plus, there was a bottleneck of humans who had to review every app and every update to every app before it landed in the store. Because these things were packaged as devs, they effectively had root on the end user's computer at the point when they were installed. So there was a push to have humans in the loop to review these things, and that didn't work out too well. So, we've had some experience of having paid apps, but the packaging system, the delivery mechanism, and everything wasn't really there back then for it to work very well. We also tried doing a paid app store on the phone. So Ubuntu Phone had a concept of paid apps, and there were a few paid apps, but again, not a tremendous success, partly because there weren't that many phones in the wild. There were thousands of them, but not enough for a developer to make a living off of the money they make from putting an app in the store. So, it could be seen as not worth it. In addition to which, you had to write your app in a particular way. It would be better if it was written in QML or if it was Qt. And so if you had an existing GTK app or an existing desktop app and you wanted to make some revenue from it, then porting it to Ubuntu Phone was quite a bit of work. And so again, the store didn't have a tremendous number of paid apps. There were a few. Michael Hall made a Reddit app. He had an interesting concept of having a developer version of a Reddit app and a free version. And if you paid, you got the developer version, which meant you got new features faster, which is an interesting concept. But I don't think he made a living off of his Ubuntu Phone Reddit app. So Canonical's had a bit of a history of making paid app stores. And I think it's worth noting that we've actually developed a lot of the infrastructure for Snaps to have paid app support. I mean, if you're in a command line, type snap buy and then the name of a snap, it'll tell you you can't buy it because that snap is free, because it's all switched off at the back end. And I'm not sure if we have the motivation to turn it back on, because now in modern times, people don't generally buy software on desktops. They generally the model has moved to subscription service, and so you don't generally buy a piece of software for the desktop. There are some exceptions. The most notable one is games. So for games, there is often a one-off payment for a game, although many games have in-app purchases or downloadable content where they can get more money out of their customers. But games are one of the big exceptions to the one-off payment to buy a piece of software. Often it's subscription-based. If you look at things like Spotify, you pay a subscription to access the content. If you look at Slack, it's free, but you pay extra to get additional logging and additional features and so on. And that's quite a common model these days, is subscription services rather than paid apps. The other side the elementary guys are doing is having donation options. So at the point when you update software, there's an option that lets you press a button and throw some coins at the developer of an application, and that's all well integrated into their app store, and that looks like it works really well. But elementary don't have millions of users and thousands of applications in their store to make that a living wage for either the developer of the application, or if elementary take a cut, for elementary to make a living wage out of that. If they get more successful, if they get more users and they get more apps in their store, maybe that will change over time. But it's certainly a different model, and it's again not paying a one-off fee for a piece of software. There's the opportunity to pay repeatedly when the developer puts in the effort to update their application. So I think it's interesting to follow what Endless are doing. Going back to the start of this conversation, looking at what Endless are doing, because they're obviously a company that needs to make money and needs to fund the development of the Endless OS and the applications that they're developing. And I think it's an interesting thing to watch. This whole space of paying for software is difficult and fraught on Linux, and we've never had a tremendous success with this. People just implement their own back-end systems and you pay them via other means. So I think it's one of those things we should follow closely, because it'd be interesting to see where it goes. Well, that's it for episode 4 of Telecast with Popey. You can find all of these on Telegram if you go to the Telegram channel Telecast with Popey, or if you're in a browser, just go t.me/telecastwithpopey and you'll find yourself here. There's also a chatter channel linked from the top of the Telegram channel that'll take you to where you can chat with other like-minded listeners of my nonsense. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye.